Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order. I'm going to do a roll call. Adrian Barnes.
Here.
Mike Barr.
Here.
Stephen Borg.
Here.
Okay. Lee Starwish here. Jonathan Dharmapalan. Wei-Ling Huber. Carol Eisen. Leon Jones.
Here.
Melissa Mitrovich. Josefina Mina. Dwayne Walton. Diane Woods.
Here.
Okay, so we have established a quorum.
Melissa just joined, Elise.
Oh, great. All right, so Melissa, are you here? I'm just going to go with the verbal wave.
She's muted, yep.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yep. Okay, we have established a quorum. Public comment. So if you would like to comment in public, there is a chat icon on the bottom of your screen that says chat. Just put your name in there. Just type in your name and I will call you for public comment. I'm going to give you a minute or two. Okay, Maury Reardon.
Thank you, Elise. Hi, everyone. I have a couple comments that I had planned already, but I was asked to read a letter that we are going to post tonight on the family listserv, and it's a letter about Stacy. And so it may take me a moment longer than a minute, but I think it's important because we want to share it with everyone. Hello, OSA families. You may have read the email message from the OSA board with the news that Stacy Smith will be leaving OSA next year. On behalf of the APT board, we would like to express our deepest appreciation and gratitude to Stacy for her dedication and commitment to students and families of OSA. She has done so much during her time at OSA, it's hard to capture it all in this email. Without a doubt, Stacy's leadership led the way to our recent charter renewal. The bottom line is that she led the way when we weren't sure we would make it through with steadfast, unwavering leadership. At times, leadership means stepping aside and letting the community lead alongside and with, and that is what she did. This is a sign of a strong leader. Thank you, Stacy. This was a complex, stressful, and difficult process that she managed with grace, strength, and determination. Stacy has been the senior leader of OSA during our current school year, stepping in to stabilize our school during a very difficult time. It was clear during the most challenging moments that Stacy kept us moving forward because she believed so strongly in OSA, our history, our future, and the staff and students. This departure is even more difficult because we will not be coming together for the remainder of the year to honor Stacy in the way that she truly deserves. In her email today, she mentioned that she will be back to visit OSA. We would love to celebrate all she has done for our kids, our school, and our community when we are able to come together in person. Stacy deserves so much more, but at the very least, we can do this. The ripple effects that Stacy will have on our kids and our community will unfold for years to come. We wish her all the very best in the next adventure that she has. The future is uncertain for OSA as a new leader is chosen. The new leader has big shoes to fill. We hope that person can not only reflect the principles of diversity, equity, and leadership from alongside instead of top down, but also represent our diverse community. A true commitment to equity means living it every day and how we do the work. Thank you, Stacy, for living the work. We appreciate you. So we just felt that we wanted to really share a kind of more nuanced appreciation of Stacy. Just quickly, my original two quick comments during public comment were, one, that I'm so gratified to see that there is a Brown Act training happening, that as someone who's attended some board meetings and as someone who's a former kind of executive director and board member on many boards, it has felt to me at times like there is a good amount of closed sessions happening with this board. And I would love more information on what the reasons are. The last thing I want to say is that given Stacy's leaving, this leaves a white leadership team at OSA. And I know that there's certain things that we're not going to put criteria on, but I want to say that given the diversity and inclusion kind of themes throughout our new charter renewal, it seems really important that this not stand, that we have an exclusively white leadership team, given the changing demographics that we're going to see in families and students to be more closely aligned with Oakland, and just because it's not the right thing to do. I feel that the candidate Tony has an education and experience at Title I schools, graduate training that includes a dissertation around equity and arts and merging those two. And I really hope that you will consider this very important issue moving forward when you make your selection. Thank you.
Thank you, Maury. Did anyone else want to give a public comment? If you do, please put your name in the chat box. And I saw Wei-Ling, you're here, and Josefina. Has Dwayne joined us or Jason? No. Okay. Okay, I'm going to close public comment. Student leadership report, Leon.
Okay, just a quick little report. The seniors met last Friday with administration. Mr. Oz was there at the meeting, Ms. Smith, Ms. Dogg, Ms. Snyder, and we just simply had a meeting to discuss some of the things around graduation and other senior activities, prom update that's reflecting in what's going on around COVID-19 and campus closure. Another thing that I'd like to add is that the 2019-2020 Student Council met last week, had this like 2-hour long Zoom retreat, which was really fun, and essentially just broke down what this year looked like and just evaluated and also evaluated past years just to really create a proposal for next year's structure. And I sent the email out to admin on our behalf to sort of get approval to do a presidential election only at the end of the year. Usually at the end of the year, we try to do the entire council beyond sixth grade because, of course, new freshman graders come. But just because now that things are all remote for the end of the school year, we think that it just really be beneficial to create a strong leadership team to walk into the 2020 and 2021 school year, and then we'll add council members on after that. If there are no questions, that is my report.
Leon, did yes. Student Council, and this might also be a question for Mr. Oz and Katie, Mike and Katie, what about the student representative on the board next year? We love having you and we love the updates, but we know you're going to Dallas.
Yes. Mr. Oz would love, I know we had a kind of conversation on potentially that it might be the president, next year's president, and that a potential prerequisite is for them to view me at one of the board meetings so they can get a clear understanding. But Mr. Oz, if you would like to jump in as well.
Do you want me to give some input now on that, yes. Elise? The only confusion this year was simply because Leon was voted as student body president without that being part of the criteria of the election. Mm-hmm. So it was not any judgment on Leon's capacity in doing so. Luckily, he did a great job and it wasn't protested in any kind of way. but that was my concern. I would like it to continue to be the student body president, but make sure that that's explicitly stated in the election process.
Okay, so if that is the way you're going, we'll have one by the time Leon leaves.
Yes, great. As long as we're able to pull off an election and get a student body president in a coherent way, given the circumstances, yes.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask what the thinking was of making that a permanent combination? You know, we kind of went a different direction at the APT. As folks know, I'm the APT representative and was the co-president, but found that those two roles were both pretty huge, and ended up taking a different role in the APT. What was the thinking in, you know, I know we put Leon on as the president because it seemed the easiest thing, and for a couple of meetings it made a lot of sense. But as a permanent solution, what was the thinking there?
Is this a question for me, Weiling?
Or Leon, I don't know who was a part of the discussion.
What is the question? Why should the student
was body it considered to have those be two separate roles?
Yeah,
the president I just, of the student body and the board representative.
I'm open to the conversation. My suggestion on this is based on the fact that I think it potentially opens up some miscommunication. My audio keeps kicking out, so I apologize. I just want to make sure that the information that's coming to the board from the student representative is consistent with what is best representing the student body, and the student body president's role is to represent the student body. So I think there's potential for some miscommunications if we separate those roles. It could be great, depending on who the two students are, but if the student body is voting on a student body president based on the fact that they know the person will be representing the student to the board, I just think it kind of strengthens that role, but I'm open to the conversation.
Do you have a specific concern about this, Weiling? I mean, it's worked really well with Leon. I mean, unless Leon has a different view.
Weiling, do you want to tackle that first?
Just capacity.
What does that mean?
That's all. Just to make sure that both of those roles are, you know, given their full attention.
And if I may add, a part of this proposal that is going to admin is that the student body president is sort of going to become more of a self-governing role. So we're going to put more leadership into the vice president in terms of taking over student council, in terms of playing dances and rallies, so that this student body president can do more of getting that information. Because mainly most of my reports are things that I have to go out and get the information for while also trying to do dances and rallies. But I think the plan is for next year is that we put a little bit more of that leadership into the vice president to work with, so that the student body president can have more time of getting that communication out to students and representing the students more in terms, because that was something that I considered as well. It's like hard to plan dances and also be on the board. So I think that in the direction that we're going towards is that the president will do more dance planning and that the president will be more active with board and representation for the school.
Got it, that makes sense.
Any other questions for Leon? Okay.
Thanks, Leon.
Thank you.
We now have the consent agenda. There's only one item on it, the minutes from March 25th. Is everybody comfortable voting on those in consent, or do we need to discuss them?
Do you want to just say what they are?
Well, it's the minutes for the March 25th meeting. Okay. You got them.
Yes, I'm comfortable with it.
All right, can we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Ooh, excuse me, this is Diane. I have a correction.
Okay, great.
I think I was there. And so, Romy, is that, can we just make that correction?
Yes, I resent them to the board with your correction.
Perfect, thank you.
Thank you.
I think I also have a correction to the minutes. At that meeting under the remote learning plan update, I actually suggested that the board do a board resolution acknowledging the efforts of the staff in shifting successfully the school to remote learning. But I don't see that mentioned here in the minutes, and I would like that to be mentioned. I think the board then decided or talked about how that might take too long, and then they wanted to do the letter of appreciation instead, but I think that should be reflected in the minutes.
Thank you. That's also captured in the audio.
Okay, great.
So then we need a motion to approve them as corrected. It sounds like Diane's already incorporating Josefina's.
So moved.
Second. Diane, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions?
Elise, this is Adrienne. I abstain.
Okay. Okay, the motion passes. Remote learning plan, Ms. Smith and Mr. Oz.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi, Stacy.
Hey, Stacy.
How are you? I wanted to just be sure to take a moment to acknowledge the work that has been done by the OSA teaching faculty and administrators and the wellness team, the student support team. The students are getting cared for in ways that I was concerned about falling through the cracks, and that has not happened one bit. People have gone on above and beyond. On the calls I'm with other charter schools, we are light years ahead of what other people have even thought about doing. And so I just wanted to make sure to take this time so that the board could just get the perspective, if you're not looking at other charter schools, to know that what OSA did from day one has made the difference with our students and their families. And we are not letting students fall behind in their learning for the rest of this year. We're still teaching new material, and students, the engagement stories we have been getting are just absolutely outstanding. The few things that are to be worked on, we're still doing those things. We still understand that everybody learns differently. The funny thing is, the twist is some kids are doing better online than they were before. I want to hand it over to Mike and Kate because they're the boots on the ground, face to face in the day to day, and I'd love you to hear from them. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I apologize in advance if my audio goes out. It's been doing it, so I'll try to correct it. And I also just want to quickly say hi to Tracy Thomas, who I saw lurking around there. I taught math to 13 years ago, and I feel like I have
Jordan
to say
Holly won, too.
Hi, Mr. Oz.
Jordan Holly from Boston, yes.
So awesome. Can I share my screen, Romy? I'm going to do, I got disabled screen sharing, so if you can change that. I got another little presentation, and Katie's going to support me with this, too. We're not going to go into as much depth as last time, because last time I was introducing you guys to our program, but I just want to give you a quick update. We're in week four of this thing, and what was once kind of exciting is now still exciting, but has become official reality. So things kind of change shape when it does it. Let me get rid of things and get it to present. Can you guys see my screen?
Yeah. Yep.
Excellent. Okay. So remote learning update number two, we got some more student artwork. I hate to be drab with the motif, but I think there's a little bit of this going on for all of us, myself included. I felt like this piece encapsulated some of our moments here. Major updates, this is great. Somewhere between 90 and 95% of our students are engaged in a remote classroom on a daily basis. That's what happens on a regular school day in a school with high attendance when they're not in a remote learning program. So this is substantial and should not be underappreciated. That's quite remarkable. I attribute that to a few things. One of them being that we did not take any break in between leaving schools. A lot of schools took like a week to plan and then jumped in, and bad habits were formed, or I should just say habits were formed. And it was much more challenging for those students to then get online because they had that time without being online. So the arts starting their more intensive stuff this week is picking up a little bit on those numbers. We're struggling a little bit on the performing arts side, seeing around 80%, but we're making phone calls and we're going to pick that up, and I'll keep you guys updated on that. The academic plan is continuing as we set forth, which is great. We weren't stuck with what we were proposing. We just decided something and we're hoping it was going to work. And based on the feedback we're getting, we did kind of hit that sweet spot of keeping up structure and routine without overwhelming our students and teachers. From what I gather, for every student out there and every parent out there that's really frustrated with there being too much work, There's another parent and student who's frustrated with there not being enough. So we're kind of in this state of, sadly, you know, like a good compromise. Everybody is slightly dissatisfied, but I think that we do have that sweet spot because I did a town hall gathering. I can't remember. It was yesterday, I believe, at noon. I'm back. It was quickly countered by a suggestion on the other side, so we're going to keep going as planned. Arts instruction increased this week with the mandatory two-hour instructional session once a week and a secondary optional two-hour instructional session. And then advisory, we're going to be setting forth in the upcoming weeks where the 50-plus advisors who were running in advisory each week with their group of 14 students, instead of continuing doing that, they're now going to be given the ability to choose engagement activity that they want to do, something that meets their interests. And we'll be able to present to our families a list of 40 to 50 different weekly engagement activities that they'll have like a menu of sorts and be able to choose how to keep their students engaged. So it won't be the same in that there's the designated point person. It was just not appropriate to continue doing given the circumstances, but at least we'll have a variety of things happening so students can continue to be engaged. Feel free to stop me if you guys have questions. Otherwise, I'm going to keep moving through. This is very similar to what I showed you before. I want to remind you guys about the priorities. Priority number one is safety, hence the closure of the campus, routine instruction, and then upholding the artistic and academic standards. So we've established the routine instruction, and now we're continuing to gauge how do we balance the appropriate amount of academic rigor without overwhelming and eating into one of these other priorities. So the shift here from what you saw previously is those art office hours now being Tuesday and Thursday with one of those two time slots being mandatory. I'll hand it over to Ms. Zog as she has been running this student support team amazingly through this process.
Do you have one quick question, Mike?
It is. You there?
I've heard that it is not optional for teachers, and I've heard that it is optional.
Okay, I don't know. I don't want to break format for the board meeting, but I'll answer it either way. It's not optional for people who were previously advisors. The option is to not hold a standard advisory, but to choose a different engagement activity that best leverages your connection with your students.
And I want to reiterate that this is for the board members to ask questions and the rest of us are observers.
Okay, so student support updates. This is kind of just sort of the second stage. I went over this last meeting with you guys, kind of the beginning of the process. We definitely spent the first 2 weeks that we were on remote learning just balancing feedback from teachers and families about the transition and identifying students who were not accessing the classroom. So those technology needs were met by the school. This kind of second stage of the process is weekly feedback from the teachers. They report students of concern. So I'm just going to give you kind of like a rough estimate. Right now we have about 150 students who aren't as successful as perhaps they could be. So our team, and I'm part of a student support team of really dedicated people and highly organized people, which helps. We've kind of divided up those students for individual support. So now those students are assigned one of our team members who's providing weekly check-ins, phone calls, communication, direct intervention to help those students in academic support. So academic support used to take place on campus for students who were struggling. Now it's taking place remotely. So a member of our team meets with them. It's held four times a week. On Fridays, it's gonna be with me and all the seniors, just to provide that kind of direct support and communication. A lot of students just struggle with sort of the organization and sort of self-motivation that's required for remote learning. So we're trying to provide that kind of weekly check-in. IEP services and 504, of course, are continuing. And the remote advisory piece, I think, will fill a lot of the requests that we get for students who need more assignments or want more additional work. But then also just the student and family concern about isolation. And particularly, we have a lot of students who are home alone during the day. And I think that these are kind of just extra opportunities for them to get online and see their peers.
Thank you, Katie.
Thanks.
Cybersecurity, you guys might have seen in the news, Berkeley High was the local school that had somebody inappropriately enter a classroom and students misusing online platforms. So we kind of scrambled. It was last Thursday when this happened at Berkeley High, and they immediately canceled everything for the next day. We decided not to. We did a quick analysis and determined that Zoom was no more susceptible than any other platform. We were using all the appropriate security protocol to make sure that only students with recognized names were entered into the classrooms. And so up to this point, we haven't restricted any of the specific conference platforms. And we're just monitoring it. We're seeing what happens with other schools. If we believe that any of this is unsafe for our students, we're going to act appropriately. But at this point, we believe the various platforms are all working all right as long as people are doing all the proper safety stuff. So
I'm working on something just so they know what all the security protocols are that are available through the upgrade version of Zoom.
Thank you. And I saw in the...
We lost you, Mike.
I'm back. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
There were more parents upset with the shutting down the online platform than the fact that somebody inappropriately entered one of the classrooms. And I'm not saying that they weren't upset about the latter, but we're seeing that social interaction is so critical in this time. So I share that with you just to say that there's no perfect solution to any of these. So we're just navigating uncharted waters and doing the best we can. Okay. Special education, it's still happening. We've done addendum IEPs for all 75 of the students. We're starting the actual IEP meetings this Friday, so wish our special ed team luck in making this happen. The only kind of hiccup to all of this is we cannot do the assessments for triennial and initial IEPs. It's not because we don't have the resources, it's because federal mandate demands that these are done in person. So without, it would pose a safety risk. So we're not going to do that. And once the campus is reopened, we will get back on to the assessments. Graduation and promotion have been a hot topic. We still have a hold on the Fox for June 4th. I think it is unlikely that we'll be able to hold those gatherings, but there's no harm in us holding on to that date. We're committed to having ceremonies for both the 12th grade graduation and the 8th grade promotion on that date regardless. It'll likely be a virtual ceremony. We will work closely with the students and the parents to determine how to design those ceremonies because this is their rite of passage and we want to have substantial input from the students. The seniors, we talked about this. Someone jokingly said instead of caps and gowns, they're going to wear hazmat suits. And so they are being lighthearted as much as they're feeling kind of devastated by the process. We're gonna make it good. We were talking about doing a parade. They want me to get on my motorcycle and lead the parade while they're all following in their cars. And we have OSA 2020 written all over the cars. And so we'll make sure to make it good no matter what we do. And we'll have digital diplomas and certificates handed out. And we're gonna put it all together to the best of our ability. In addition to that, we put a hold on the Fox for July 24th, not for a graduation because we are going to do the graduation and promotion on the 4th, but in case there is a later opportunity for mass gatherings and we can have a proper celebration in person. All of this is tentative, aside from the fact that we're committed to making something happen on the 4th. But given the unknown circumstances at this point, we can't plan on anything with absolute certainty. Building access teachers were just let in on Friday. They were very happy to be able to get in there. They were also pleased to receive the gift from you guys of the wine and chocolate. Julie Humphrey specifically asked me to make sure to thank you guys. So thank you to the board for getting that to the teachers. And students have not yet been permitted to get into the building, which is frustrating to many of them, but we got to go back to priority number one, which is safety, and we're following county guidance. I'm back. Sorry about that. We're following county guidance on that, and as soon as we're allowed to have groups and we have a clear protocol for how to do that, we will allow students to get in and get to their lockers and clean out their two-month-old lunches and whatever else needs to happen.
What, can I ask you a question, just going back to the logistics of these Zoom interactions?
Sure.
You've got minors, and in some cases, pretty younger kids online. Are there privacy issues or protocols that you're following to, protect these kids and from themselves and from
just from
the way this kind of strange way of interacting. I mean, we're sitting in a room where I'm seeing your house and what's around you.
I mean, three things come to mind. Is one is making sure that only our kids are the ones entering those chats. So that's handled with the security settings of those. Two is actually, and this is something that other schools are encountering, is student behaviors being disruptive. That can happen in a classroom, but from what I read in different stories from different schools, it takes a different shape and form when someone is in the comfort of their own home. And this has been a really disruptive thing for many schools. And this is what I was telling the parents at the town hall yesterday. I'm so grateful for their parenting. In knock on wood, this has not been a problem for us. Our students are respecting this program and seeing that a lot of work is going into it and not abusing it in that kind of way that has been happening at some other schools. And then three is exactly like you're saying, how do we make sure that aspects of one's home are not shared in a way that's not appropriate? And we have to leave that judgment up to the parents and work with them. So I don't know if there's like a way. And I don't mean to belittle that concern because it's a big one, but there's also equal concern on different type of concern. But we have our students walking through downtown Oakland every day when we're on campus, and the things that they can see, they're exposed to. We just monitor it as we go. We don't want to overreact, but we want to make sure that we're reacting appropriately, much like we would do with standard school and the things that our kids have to be careful for.
Okay. Good.
Part of it too goes back to the security features, Melissa, because there's things we can do to lock the meeting so no one else can enter once the students have all joined. We make sure they can't change their names, so become anonymous while they're in the call. There's password requirements that are sent out so we know who's coming in, we control who's in, and the most updated version allows a participant to be kicked out of the meeting if they're not somebody who's supposed
to be. They're disruptive. That's right. Great.
Students can be disrupted. They have a little timeout option and they're not kicked out, but they're put in a holding pattern and they have to wait for the teacher to let them back in. So again, that's a classroom management feature that now has been built into Zoom.
Right. I'm sure that people are making it up as they go along. It's just a situation where you've got young kids and in many cases, it sounds like unsupervised young kids. So, you know, the mind boggles at all the things that could go awry, but it sounds like you've buttoned it down as much as you can and Zoom's got the protocols so far.
The other thing would be maybe a virtual background so you can't see what's behind the person.
I'm enjoying yours. I'm getting some
I figured it's a beach day, so let's pretend.
Yeah, so keeping close on that, the best we can do at this point. Moving forward, a couple big things. We're going to survey the entire school community on the 27th. We did last month. This is by design for there to be an entire month in between. We are not going to adjust our program on a weekly basis. Even if we determine that there's some things that are being done in a less than optimal way, I think it would do more of a disservice for families to continue changing the program. So we're going on a monthly basis here. May is going to be the end of this marathon, and we really want to make sure we're getting all the information at the end of April to make any programmatic adjustments for May at that point. In the meantime, we're holding weekly division meetings with the arts, with the middle school, with the high school teams. Me and Mr. Travisano and Ms. Sog and Ms. Smith are on all of those meetings, gathering as much information from the teachers as possible to help inform where things are going to go moving forward.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Teacher, because we're not taking quantitative data right now, I thought the best thing I could do is give you guys just feedback. This is unfiltered, unedited feedback. When I asked the teachers at the meeting today what's going on, I said, please don't candy coat it. Give me the real deal. And some students are more engaged through remote learning, Mr. Olson is saying. Google chats are working well to give the students the time to socialize, Ms. Pontecorvo, our 7th and 8th grade history teacher, is saying. Tech challenges are slowing things down, according to Mr. Toldy. I want you to know Mr. Toldy is a substitute who is long-term and sticking with us through this. We have a high school one and a middle school one who are running full remote learning classrooms through Teachers on Reserve as substitute teachers. Other schools, Ms. Cheatham sent me a message today from Teachers on Reserve saying, are you keeping them working? Other schools are canceling them because they're just canceling the classes. No. So just another indicator of what industry practice may be in other places right now. So I'm proud that we're keeping people moving and we have such great subs that are able to keep it going. Ms. Guerin saw a drop in attendance this week, so this is one of those things we don't sleep on. We get the names, we call, we do everything because momentum is everything. We don't want inertia working against us. We want it to work for us. So a student support team, this is where they're organized. I'm back. I'm sorry. The student support team is much on top of that. For high school, there's an increase in participation from some students who are finding their voice in Mr. Ellis's biology class. This format works better for some. Others, it's going to not work as well for, but some are actually seeing a benefit. Having more time for student reading, and this was not just Ms. Treadwell, this was like snapped and seconded by the other English teachers. Kids are reading more. High attendance, no complaints from students about tests, super impressed, according to Mr. King, our math department chair. Mr. K, the ninth grade English teacher, has shared that they have just had the students complete the most fruitful project so far this school year. Is finding that there's limitations to the amount of material he can cover for his 12th grade government and AP psychology classes due to the time constraints. And our other sub, Kia, is in 11th grade English experiencing class discussions to be more challenging. So as we look towards next year, all this is happening and we're keeping it rolling, but we also have, this is the time of year where as a school, we're really in 2021 at this point. So course registration is up and running. The course catalogs have been released to the families. Registration will be happening in the coming weeks with our new students and our returning students. The school calendar is in the process of being finalized and will be shared with families soon. There's a couple key pieces of information we need to finalize that. We'd love to know what Oakland Unified's spring break and November break are to make sure that we're aligned with them. We're working on a summer bridge program to support students who may have fallen behind through this remote learning so that they can have the appropriate transition back to on-campus schooling. And we're recruiting teachers like we do every year. And each week we're having 3 to 5 interviews. We offered a teacher candidate a math position today. So business as usual on top of trying to navigate what, you know, this unforeseen situation that we're in. And the last thing I wanted to share with you guys, just to make sure you're looped in, because this is something that the whole community should be aware of. We do access Measure G1 funding through the city of Oakland. It's a parcel tax that goes specifically to Oakland residents, middle school, public school, Oakland residents to receive supports in getting appropriate arts education and world language education, in addition to creating a safe and welcoming environment at school. The arts part, we got pretty well covered. I'm back, I'm sorry. The arts part, we got pretty well covered. There's $18,000 attached to it. I don't want to say it's a small amount, but it's not substantial like what we get with Measure N. But we're allocating these funding to 3 different places: counseling services to provide one-on-one support and programmatic development specific to middle school students with a focus on gender identity. We have a very large percentage of students who identify as LGBTQ, much more so than your average school. And in looking really in depth in student culture survey data, we want to make sure that we're providing necessary supports to students at the middle school level. The summer bridge program that I just mentioned to you, where some of the money from G1 will go to funding the stipends for the teachers who would like to help support that transition back to on-campus learning. And then Challenge Day is an organization we've worked with in the past. We've seen amazing work from them. They really bring our student culture together, and the last couple of years we have lost funding for it. So we're using some of this. It's $3,500, if I'm not mistaken, to fund that for our 7th grade students. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Questions for Katie, Mike, Stacy?
No, I'll just echo that what you guys are doing is way beyond what others are doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was very used to what you guys are doing. And now when I hear about what other schools and districts are doing, I'm just shocked. So really, really amazing work that everybody, every teacher really rallied and made a difference. Really, really excited and proud of OSA.
Thank you.
I have to agree. I'm tutoring my my grandniece, who's in another school district that will remain unnamed. But she was just given a bunch of papers kind of thrown at her. And then she gets videos online with no discussion from the teacher and complete a paper. And it's frightening that this would go on. So we spend 2 to 3 hours a day kind of working on making sure that she's getting it. So this is fantastic. It's just fantastic. So thank you. Thank everyone.
I do have a question. In terms of high schoolers and middle schoolers, in terms of the remote learning, how are they handling it? Like, I'm hearing more from like high schoolers and their opinions on it, but I haven't really been in touch with the middle school. Just want to see how the middle school is handling the remote learning.
From what I gather, they're handling it really well. My biggest concern is screen time. And so we need to work with our teachers to see, for middle school students specifically, I think, sorry, I faded again. They're less prepared for that excessive amount of screen time. Katie, did you want to add anything? Are there any specific middle school concerns you're seeing?
No, I agree. I think the attendance is higher for middle school, but there's also a bigger push, I think, for teachers to do more projects, because I think they agree that the screen time is hard, and sustained screen time for many hours, like a short break, has been a little bit more challenging. And I think they're actually pretty happy that they now have a little bit more arts time.
Thank you.
And I guess I'd just like to put a final thought on it, and I appreciate all the positive feedback. It's really appreciated. The way that people worked together that Friday when we planned was just one of those. I love those moments of like, we got to do this now, and everyone just rallied. Every possible concern that could have come up was out the door because people saw that it was go time and there was no time for complaint. And it's just a testament to our community. We have an incredibly strong school community. We're a school that is unlike any other school, and we have people that are really appreciative of being part of this community. And it just felt so good. It was the most activated I have felt. I've been here for 14 years. I've been in leadership roles for 10. It is probably the most activated I've felt the whole time I've been at OSA.
I wanted to say an appreciation and thank you for the gift cards that came from the board to provide groceries and some necessities for families. They've been really beneficial and much appreciated. So thank you.
Well, you've been the one driving all over the place, both for students and families and staff, Katie. So good for you.
It's okay. I had no idea that shopping groceries like a family of four was so expensive. So thank you. I learned a lot.
Well, I just really wanted to say thank you again to all of the staff, the leadership team. You guys have really done an amazing job, and the depth of the content that is coming through remote learning is very, very impressive. And I really want to acknowledge all of the effort, the planning, and the work that you guys are all putting in. So the parents are very appreciative.
Thank you, Josefina.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the board?
I will proceed to mute myself. Goodbye.
Okay.
Good
and
job.
If you want to get off screen, Mike, Katie, you should feel Leon. Well, not Leon. You're a board member. Mike and Katie, I totally understand. Okay. Next, we have the OSA Sunshine proposal. This is a time for public comment. And so if you would like to comment on the OSA Sunshine proposal, please type your name in the chat box. Okay, I'm going to assume there are no public comments for the OSA Sunshine proposal. We now have a new board member to vote on. Jason Ryman has joined us. We will vote on him as a regular board member to be converted to a parent board member once we have the bylaws in. But this vote is for a regular board member. Jason has met with a number of us on the board. He's currently the associate superintendent in Castro Valley and has a lot of great education background and has two youngsters in the school. So any questions or comments? Discussion?
Yeah, Lisa, what's the timeline now for the bylaws? You think that'll be at our next meeting? Because to follow up on the last in-person meeting we had, I just want to make sure that we're, proceeding correctly through all these process? Is it the right thing to do to name him as a regular board member? But what's the thinking on that, and what can I do to help?
Would you like me to respond, Elise?
I'll accept that, Steve. Thank you.
Concepting is initial concepting is done. I've just shared it with Dwayne and a couple other board members to sort of get some feedback. We'll be doing drafting. My hope is in a week or so that we'll be able to circulate that with the board. I'll need some guidance from a Brown Act perspective how we do that. And then Elise, when is our next board meeting?
Well, we have one scheduled for the end of April, April 29th. If we feel like we need it, which we may or may not, depending on if we have any, the most pressing thing being the budget. And then I think our next one after that is probably May 27th.
So I would say, you know, one of those meetings.
Okay, great. And Jason, sorry to hold up your walking into the table, but just one thing to think about for the three members that have just joined is we may have to do something a little bit different in terms of the term, because I wouldn't want them, you know, obviously Jason doesn't want it. I would think that we're going to move to a situation where the parent board member served for the duration of a school year, and these all join mid-year. So I just want to think about that as a board. We may do a year plus for these folks.
That makes sense.
If they'll do it.
If they'll do it. All right. Jason, sorry, that's all I have.
Any other comments or discussion? Okay, do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those who abstain? All those who say no? All those opposed? Okay, Jason, welcome to the board.
Thank you, Jason.
Woo!
Thank you.
Do you excited. Want to say, sorry, I usually let, would you like to say something?
Yes, is my audio working at all? I know I'm probably being heard on one line and seen on another.
We can hear you.
And no echo.
I just wanted to say how excited I am to join this board, hearing staff's presentation earlier about the work that's going on with online learning. I think just speaks to the amazing work the staff, the board, including Leon, students, parents, and community members working together. So I'm just really excited. I've been blown away with OSA from the start when my kids initially joined 3 years ago now, and I'm equally excited to be able to deepen my work with you guys. So thanks for welcoming me.
Well, welcome. Okay, so we have Wayne.
Can I ask a favor? Romy, when you get a chance, it'd be great to get an updated roster with everybody's contact info, with all, especially with all the new folks. I had to go look for Josefina's, but it would be great just to get the latest on that.
Good idea, Mike. Including cell phone numbers if we have them. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Wayne, welcome.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Wayne.
So Wayne Strumford did our Brown Act training last year. He is back again to do it for us as we meet it, I think, annually. And with so many new board members, we want to make sure we are all on the same page. Wayne has a lot of experience with this, and we've worked closely with Young, Minnie, and Kerr, the firm, for a number of years. I think actually Young, Minnie, and Kerr helped do the first charter for OSA with Jerry Brown. Yep. So welcome, and the table is yours. Okay, Wayne, thank you so much.
Sure, yeah, nice to see all of you. Take care, stay healthy, and hopefully next year we can do this in person again.
Take care.
All right, thank you, bye-bye.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, we are now going to be going to move to closed session for the public employee appointment, title of the executive director. So the closed session is on a different Zoom link that you should all have.
It was emailed by Romy.
Yeah, and then Jason, I emailed it to you. Does everybody have it or does anyone need it?
I have it, but before we go, can I suggest that we add the question of public comment to the agenda next for our next meeting so we can answer some of these questions that are being asked in the chat?
Say some more. What do you mean? Making
so, you know, people are in this discussion, there were some questions about, you know, should we be taking public comment before every agenda item? You know, what should be the order of how we take public comment? Should there be, you know, for example, Wayne, I think, was suggesting where we would have kind of a presentation, then public comment, then board comment, then the vote for kind of each agenda item. And so I want to make sure that we discuss as a board what our proposal on how to sort of take those best practices into our you know, future meetings.
Okay, let me just see how packed our next agenda is, but we will definitely we can talk about this. Yes, I just want to clarify because there's a lot of things that have come up on chat. So how we agendize items and if we spread public comment instead of one block is what you're asking us to discuss.
Okay. Right, and to the degree, you know, I think he said that we're allowed to have a little bit more back and forth than we've been having. So how much do we want to include?
So I didn't hear that. I heard public comment, discussion, not back and forth.
Okay. So we can clarify that, I guess.
Wei-Ling, there's another possibility. Do you want to make a motion in terms of public comment?
Well, we can now if it's not
we an
item, unfortunately, yeah.
Oh, got it.
I think he did actually say that we can't make a motion.
Yeah, we can't.
I probably could make a motion about having public comment today and now that I think is possible, but maybe not as an ongoing change in our policy.
If we even have a policy. Okay, I'm going to move us into closed session. Everybody is the link. And then we will reconvene at this link in open session, right, Romy?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we have a 5-minute break?
Yes. Yes. Okay, so come back at 9:00 promptly.
All right.
Sounds good.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay. Thank you for the note.
So, Mike, do I have to take attendance again?
No.
Okay.
I mean, the minutes would reflect if anybody left the meeting at any point in time. So I would, do we have everybody that was on back? If not, then Romy should note that in the minutes.
Let me see. Dwayne, I don't see everyone. Dwayne, are you here? Jason's here. Yep. Okay. I think we have everyone. Oh, Diane.
I would, give her a little bit longer and then just note that for Romy's that she's not here at the start of our new open session.
And Jason, I see one of you, but you're on mute. Are you here?
I am here.
Okay, great.
My video is disabled because I'm logging on to my phone still.
Okay. Okay, we just need Diane. There she is. Okay. So we don't have anything to report out on closed session as far as actions. Our next agenda item is the board approval ratification of compensation comparability study for executive director position. We will be voting on this and we will be doing a roll call vote because I've just learned that's what you do on teleconference. The three compensations are the ED of Academy of Alameda, which is at 160. The Superintendent of American Indian Model Schools, which is at 180. OMI, which is at 178. And OSA, which is at 169 previous ED with a $10,000 potential bonus.
Elise, I'd just like to note that the OMI figure is from 2018, we believe, based on publicly available information.
Yes, and the OMI person is not responsible for fundraising.
Thank you.
Or PR responsibilities. Christina just got back to me.
Okay.
So do we need kind of a motion to take a vote on the comparability study?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call vote. Adrian Barnes?
Aye.
Mike Barr?
Yes.
Steve Borg?
Yes.
Elise Darwish? Yes. Jonathan Dharmapalin?
Aye.
Wei-Ling Huber? Melissa Mitrovich?
Aye.
Josefina Mina?
It's Alvarado Mena and I.
Alvarado Mena, okay. Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
And Diane Woods?
Aye.
And you gotta get Jason.
Oh, and Jason Ryman.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, the motion moves. The oral report of the executive director contract is that we are going to vote now on a contract to Lisa Sherman Colt for $175,000, no bonus.
Sorry, no performance bonus, but
but a moving $5,000 moving stipend or bonus. Yeah. Same benefits as the rest of OSA and similar sick leave.
To the former executive director.
Yes, to the former executive director. And the moving bonus comes with some conditions around if she leaves, she pays it back within 6 months.
Correct.
Did I capture everything?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I just want to get super, super anal, sorry, but it's a bonus to use of her choosing. Her intention is to use it to move. There are tax implications of a relocation payment made on behalf of an employee. So we're framing it just as a signing bonus that is, it's related to the fact that she will be moving here from the Los Angeles area.
Okay. Thank you, Mike, for clarifying that. Okay, let's take a roll call vote again. I'll go backwards this time. Jason?
I'll abstain.
Is there a motion?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Do we have a motion to vote on this ED contract?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second. Dwayne.
Jason, sorry to have to repeat.
I'll abstain.
Okay, Diane Woods.
You're muted, Diane.
Aye.
Dwayne Walton?
Yes, approve.
Okay, Josefina Alvarado Mina?
No.
Melissa Mitrovich?
Aye.
Wei-Ling Huber?
So I'm going to abstain and say that I thought that Lisa had a lot of strengths. I think that she has a lot of really great experience in the arts. She comes from a school that's very similar to OSA. She's done a lot of really good fundraising. I think that she could definitely be a strong ED. In light of where the school, and in light of how important equity is and diversity to our future, and the fact that she has, Tony, the other candidate, has a lot of experience working in Title I schools, that he you know, has a high level of education. And I would really, I felt like the process was faulty. You know, I mentioned earlier that after the public meeting, the town hall, I was initially on the search committee, but haven't been involved in any subsequent conversations with either of the candidates or any discussions weighing the candidates. And so I'm not satisfied with the process that brought us to this. And so I'm going to vote no.
No or abstain?
I'm sorry, abstain. Excuse me.
Jonathan Dharmapalin?
Yes.
Elise Garlish? Yes. Steve Borg?
Yes.
Mike Barr?
Yes.
Adrian Barnes?
Yes.
All right, the motion carries. And now can I have a motion to dismiss this meeting as it is almost 10 o'clock?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
We got a roll call vote, Elise, sorry.
Oh, God. Okay, Adrian Barnes?
Aye.
Mike Barr?
Yes, please.
Steve Ford?
Yes.
Elise Darwish, yes. Jonathan Dharmapalin?
Yes.
Wei-Ling Huber?
Yes.
Carol Eisen, Melissa Mitrovich?
Yes.
Josefina Alvarado Mina?
Yes.
Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
Diane Woods?
Yes.
Jason Ryman?
Yes.
The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Errol.
Hi, people.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.